This is the third revelation of heaven and hell that the Lord gave to Angelica Zambrano. She was shown the beauty of heaven and also many people who ended their lives in the everlasting torments of hell because of various sins. She was given important warnings to the church and told of the low percentage of Christians that are ready for the Lord's return. Evangelist Angelica Zambrano lives in Ecuador in South America. It was around midnight when her near-death experience and revelation of heaven and hell began. The ministers and brethren were all in intercessory prayer during the experience. The first thing that occurred was that angels took her from her house to a heavenly viewpoint. 1. The condition of the church. Few are ready. From a heavenly viewpoint, an angel said, "Look, you are seeing the earth. Look at all the churches and congregations of the earth. This church has 20,000 members. There is another with 10,000 members. This other church has 1,000 members." He continued to show me many congregations and then said, "But there are very few people in these churches who are actually the true church." The angel said, "I must tell you what the Father wants me to tell you." The Archangel Michael was the one speaking to me. He said, "Look at the earth. The churches are filled with sin. There is so much sin in these churches. Many of the people are spiritually dead." Through the angels, the Lord showed me that 80% of the evangelical Christian church on earth will be left behind. They will be left behind because they are cold. Because they don't seek God's presence. Because of their sin. Because they are discouraged. Only 20% will be caught up, raptured, to be with Jesus. This is only for true Christians. That is why His word says many are called, but few are chosen. Matt 22:14. We are all called, but we not only must be called, we must be chosen. Let me explain what takes place inside many of the churches. There is very much religiosity. There is no loyalty to the Word of God. Inside church, brothers and sisters happily praise the Lord. They rejoice, they dance, and they speak in tongues. But when they get home, they are completely different. They act like the devil himself. This is what takes place. People go home and speak things that hurt God's heart. At home they don't pray, read God's word or seek His presence. God does not want any of us to be left behind. It hurts me that 80% of the church congregants are not ready for the Lord's return. Because few of the churches truly demonstrate the true love of Jesus. There were angels all around, then Jesus spoke to me, while the angels remained silent. The Lord said, "Daughter, my heart breaks to see how many people are discouraged. To see how many people have backslid. Tell my people to return to the old paths, to the first love. Church, you must encourage the believers. Tell them to seek God, to reject hypocrisy." Listen to what the Lord told me. The Lord said, "Do you know which commandment my church has forgotten? Some think it's love. Some think it's faith. The forgotten commandment within my church is holiness. My words say, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" 1 Pet 1:16. This is what the Lord says: we have to be holy inside and outside. We must have a pure heart, a clean heart that is filled with His presence. A heart filled with His love. A heart filled with God. Rev 3:15-16. "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." 19 As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. 2 The kingdom of heaven. Then an angel asked me, "Are you ready? The Lord has sent us for this purpose." I answered, "Yes, I'm ready," as the Lord had taken away all my fear. This experience was different from the other two experiences. This time I did not travel to heaven in the same manner as before. This time I instantly entered the kingdom of heaven. When I looked around, I realized I was wearing a beautiful white dress. We began walking and the angels were just worshiping the Lord and said, "Look around, for we have many things to show you." I began to see the same places I had seen in my first experience, such as flowers and a beautiful garden. 3 Children in heaven. When we passed the garden, we arrived in a place that was filled with children. These children were about 2 to 3 years old. They danced, played, and sang. The angels said, "Look, to such as these belongs the kingdom of heaven. Remember, only for those who open their hearts." Many of these children were killed. Many were aborted. Their mothers took their lives. The children worshipped the Lord and played on what appeared to me to be a swing set. As I approached them, they got very close to me. The Archangel Michael said to me, "Today the Lord gives you a great love for children. Previously I liked children, but sometimes I hated their behavior, crying, whining, or talking too much. I just liked them to sit still." Michael said, "God gives you a new love for children. When you return to earth, you will be like honey to them. They will look for you and you will be a blessing to them. Do you know why God places this love in your heart for children? God wants you to win their souls. There are many children in hell. You must speak to their parents so they will know. Many children in this generation are rebellious. They do not obey their parents. Nowadays, children are being deceived by Satan through the television. Most of the shows they watch do not edify in any way. Parents don't realize it, but there are many kids that watch pornographic videos. The cartoons that come through TV are not educational, they are evil. Children are influenced by these shows and they become rebellious. They continually disobey their parents. For these reasons, children end up in hell." See Angelica's second testimony for more info. F6, 1 Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. 2 Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, 3 That it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. In heaven, the children were praying, laughing, and worshipping the Lord. I had great joy to see their happiness. When the angel told me that many of them had been aborted, it really hurt my heart. And you know what is sad? Many women have had abortions. Young and old, married and single. These women did not want their children. Sometimes the fathers would accompany them to the clinic. Those babies go to the presence of God. But the men and women of the earth become murderers. The word of God says that no murderer shall enter the kingdom of heaven, Gal 5:19-21, Rev 21:8. If you have done this, repent today. If you do not repent and ask God for forgiveness, this is what will take place on your day of judgment. Your children will come as a witness against you and say, "You were my mother, you were my father, and you took my life." They love you, they forgive you, but if you do not repent of that sin, you will go to hell for eternity. Inside of the churches this sin has been committed. 4 Entering hell. Next we headed to where Jesus was. I was so happy. When I approached the Lord, he took me by the hand. When he touched my hand, I felt as if I was a newborn baby being touched by a loving father. As Jesus held my hand, we began to descend towards a very dark place. I could see there were very large flames of fire. Jesus told me, "We are going towards the heart of hell." "The heart of hell? Hell has a heart?" I asked. He replied, "Yes, my daughter, hell has a heart. I will show you what is inside of it. There are many pastors, evangelists, prophets, and apostles in this place. These men once served me, but now they are in this location." I began to cry and said, "No more, Lord, I don't want to see this anymore." I felt I had already seen enough. But we continued to along a path that was like a dark alley up to some bars that were like a gate. The gate opened and we entered. 5 The pastor who sinned. When we entered, I heard the voice of a man crying out, "Father, Father, get me out of here. I can't stand it any longer." I asked the Lord, "Who was that?" "He must have known you on earth because you said you would show me people who once served you. I don't understand why he refers to you as Father, while he is in hell." The Lord said he was a pastor. The man stood there pretending to be holding a Bible. The man in hell was preaching, "Repent, repent, brethren. Church of Christ, you must repent." I asked, "Why is he preaching here, Lord?" The Lord said, "What people did on earth they continue to do in this place," Gal 6:7-8. I began to cry and asked, "If he was a pastor, why is he in this place?" Jesus said, "Daughter, it is due to this." I was shown his life on earth as a screen appeared before me. On earth he was a respecter of persons. He showed partiality to people of different classes in my holy place. Showing partiality is a sin. He preached many times from the pulpit showing partiality. Showing partiality towards people of wealth, towards people who were upper class. Those people had money, but they did not fear my word. He showed partiality to those people who did not have godly fear in their hearts. I cried and said, Lord, I did not know showing partiality was a sin. He said, yes, daughter, many people wanted to serve me and be a part of his church, but he didn't allow them to participate. This pastor never repented from showing partiality. Because of this sin, many people never came to me. This is why he is in this place. Even in hell he preaches my word with partiality, Gal 6,7-8. In hell, this man would approach souls and say, take this, I share my Bible with you, preach. He looked at Jesus and said, Father, I can't stand being here any longer. Take me out of this place. I don't want to sin anymore. Give me another chance. The Lord replied, there are no more opportunities for you. You are too late. When the Lord said that, the pastor began cursing blasphemy. I said, Lord, I don't want to see any more, can we leave? He answered, no. There are congregations everywhere that practice partiality. Although it seems insignificant, it is a great sin. The Lord told me to tell people don't practice partiality, it is a sin. James 2:8. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. 9. But if you show partiality, you commit sin, and are convicted by the law as transgressors. 10. For whoever shall keep the whole law, and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. Please read the whole of James chapter 2, which deals with the sin of partiality, showing bias or prejudice. 6. The burden of the Lord. In the experience, I never saw the Lord's face. I would always look at his garments or his hands, but I could never see his face. Every time I attempted to see his face, I felt as if I would go blind. On many occasions I would see tears come down his garments. His sandals were gold. When tears would land on his sandals, crystals would form. Many times Jesus would begin to weep. He would say, daughter, my heart is in pain. His heart breaks when he sees us in sin. I say us, because I include myself. God doesn't want us to sin. God desires to set us free from the bondage of sin. God wills for us to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, Gal 5,16-18. He desires for us to do great things for His kingdom. 7. Worldly music styles in the church. The Lord said, I will show you another sin that takes place on the altar of churches. It is regarding music. The Lord showed me people playing and listening to rock music, rap music, and reggae music in the altar at churches. This displeases the Lord. The Word of God says He wants us to worship Him in spirit and truth. He does not say He seeks for those who will rap for Him in spirit and in truth. We moved to another location in hell and I saw a young Christian man who was singing Christian rap or reggae style music. I asked the Lord, why is he here? Lord, I really want to know, why is he here? Why is he singing? At this time I was remembering how many musicians are in hell, Selena, Michael Jackson, and many other musicians are burning in hell. I asked, Lord, did he sing in the church? He replied, yes, daughter, he sang at church. The Lord did not say anything else after that statement. I began speaking with this young man. He said, my name is Mark. I am in this place because I did not worship the Lord. I sang rap style music instead. I would sing these songs at church, but I did not like to pray, I had no prayer life. I did not like to seek God's presence. My purpose in singing these songs was to attract young people to church. I wanted gang members to come to church, I didn't realize it is God who must draw them. It is He alone who deals with their hearts. I asked, how long have you been in this place, and is there any other reason you are here? He said, 4 years. Yes, I had a lot of pride, I am also here because of that. Here the demons torment me and continually laugh at me. They say worldly music is an instrument that we use to bring young people to this place. Mark was completely bound while he talked with me. His arms and body were tied up with snakes. He would cry and ask me, "Can you help me?" I said, "No, Mark, I would if I could, but I cannot." He replied, "I know I will never get out of here. Look at me, I am in torment. When I died, I fell into a tunnel. After I descended from the tunnel, my body exploded as I landed in hell. Worms came out of my body and I have remained in torment until now. I have become disfigured and the flames of hell continue to burn me. I can't stand it anymore. The demons say this is my kingdom and that Satan is my God." I said, "I understand, but Mark, on earth you had a chance to repent." He cried and said, "Tell the young people to worship Jesus. Tell the whole church to worship. God seeks true worshipers." After Mark had spoken, a flame came between us. He became engulfed by the flames as soon as I stepped away. While we had been speaking, the flames had only risen to his waist. After his last statement, his torment continued as before. The Lord said, "Daughter, many people think that with certain music and certain programs they are able to attract the world and reach the gang members and drug addicts. No. It is not men that bring conviction of sin, it is the Holy Spirit that deals with and convinces man of his sins. It is I who touches hearts. It is I who deals with the hearts of man, I alone am able to save. Men think they are the saviors. This is what the Lord told me." I cried. This was so difficult for me, it is still difficult. I think that if you are listening to this type of music, you must stop. This is between you and God though. As I fulfill God's will in telling you, I am no longer responsible because I told you what God said. If you want to accept it, accept it. If you want to reject it, reject it. I fulfill my responsibility. This is something he required of me. If I don't obey him, hell awaits, Ezekiel 3:16-21. I don't want to go to that place and end up in torment, I have already visited there 3 times, it's more real than life in earth. As we left Mark's cell, he began to blaspheme. The Lord told me, "When we leave this place, tell my church to worship me in spirit and in truth." John 4:23. The hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. 24 God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Also Ezekiel 3:16-17, and F5:17-21. 8 The pastor's wife. As we moved on to a different location, I saw a woman in hell. She was crying, "I can't stand it anymore. I can't bear it anymore. Lord, help me." This woman served God for many years while she was on earth. After this life, you do not get credit for how many years you knew the Lord, Ezekiel 18:21-32. We only inherit salvation by serving God with all our hearts and living lives in His will, Matt 7:21-23. This woman knew God's word. She has even preached God's word, but she was in hell for the sin of adultery. Admin note. Once saved, always saved is a false doctrine. A Christian can indeed be disqualified. Gal 5:19-21, F5:3-5. This is what made this extremely sad and troubling for me. In hell, she was being tormented by snakes in a similar manner to how prostitutes are tormented. She would tell the evil spirits, "I am a pastor's wife, don't touch me. Don't do this to me." The demons tortured her anyway. The Lord had confirmed what she had told me regarding adultery. He said she is here for committing fornication and adultery. On earth she had been a pastor's wife who preached God's word. She had children as well, but this did not keep her from infidelity to her husband. You know what? This sin takes place in many churches. Even many ministers of God's word have committed this sin. This must stop. It has gone on for too long. Resist the devil and he will flee. Put your trust in Jesus. It was so difficult for me to see this. It is sad to know how often this takes place. Gal 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, 20 idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, 21 envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. 9. The young evangelist in flames. Next I heard a young man yelling, "Help me, Lord, help me." The young man who was yelling had been an evangelist on the earth. He committed fornication a multitude of times. The word of God warns if they can't control themselves they should go ahead and marry. It is better to marry than to burn with lust, 1 Cor 7. It is better to marry and avoid sinning, for if you live in sin and die you will go to hell. This man was a preacher of God's word. This teaches us that we must pray without ceasing and ever vigilant of the traps of the enemy, who is seeking how he can attack the ministers of God's word. There are millions of demons ready to tempt preachers. It is very important for the church to intercede for its pastors, local and around the world. They need protection from continual attack. As I walked away, flames engulfed him in torture. My heart ached for that young man. I still feel for him. I share this with you so you realize we must obey God's word. 1 John 2:3. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments, for he who says, "I know him," and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. 5. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. 10. The pastor burning in torment. In the next place I saw a pastor burning in torment. He was holding his hand in a manner in which he seemed to be drinking an alcoholic drink, he was acting drunk. I thought, a drunk pastor in hell? He had been a hypocrite in church. He had pastored a large congregation with a multitude of members. He was also a liar and an adulterer. Next to the pastor was a demon that appeared to him like a woman, and he continued to be a drunk and an adulterer with the demon who tortured him. The man said, "I was a pastor, I preached God's word, but I did not live God's word. I would get drunk and also cheated on my wife. I never repented of my sinful ways." This man knew that God's word says that adulterers shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven, neither shall drunkards, Gal 5:19-21 and Rev 21:8. Many people on earth preach God's word but continue to live in sin. People need to stop sinning and begin to seek God. This pastor told me, "You must warn people not to come to this place. Please, you must warn the churches to escape the flames of hell." The Lord then showed me a large screen that showed part of his life. On earth he would preach while his wife was with him supporting his ministry. He was wealthy and prosperous, but now in hell he no longer had opportunity for salvation. He no longer had the women he loved on earth. For all eternity all he has is eternal torment. Torment, 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 this is all he has. I was discouraged when I saw how a pastor can end in hell and told the Lord I didn't want to see any more or preach any more. The Lord said to me, "Daughter, you must fulfill my will. You must obey, I will show you why." 11. A calling rejected, a destiny diverted. As we continued on to the next cell there was a woman, and the Lord told me several things about her. She had been called into the ministry at age 15. At that time she told God, "I'm not ready for the ministry, I am too young. Allow me to finish school and graduate." After that the Lord called her again. Then she said, "I am married, I must focus on taking care of my children. Not now." After the children were raised and began to have family of their own, the women focused on raising her grandchildren. The Lord told me I continued calling her throughout her entire life, but she disobeyed me and rejected her calling. The Lord asked me, "Will you reject my calling?" I said, "No, Lord, I will not. But Lord, this isn't easy for me." The Lord said, "It is I who speaks through you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I will help you and guide you." I was crying and made a promise, "Okay, Lord, whoever rises against me may rise. You promised me you would be with me, so I will continue no matter what. I don't want to end up here." This is what I told my pastor recently, I want to continue because I must fulfill God's calling upon my life. This same lady got old and passed away and went to hell for disobedience. Over 5,000 souls were lost because of her. The demons in hell would tell her, "Look around, many of these souls are here because of you." She looked at the Lord and cried, "Lord, forgive me for disobeying my calling. Forgive me for not responding to you." How many people on earth are in this situation? When the Lord calls you and chooses you, you must obey. The Lord called me when I was just 17 years old. I knew absolutely nothing about the Bible. Since then the Holy Spirit has been teaching me. In hell, this woman pleaded with the Lord for forgiveness for rejecting her calling. The Lord said, "You have no more opportunities of forgiveness." The Lord tearfully said to me, "Do not refuse me. I have called you and chosen you. You are to be my watchman so that you may take my word to all nations." Dear reader, God chose for you to hear this message. Many will not hear it, but God chose for you to hear it. That lady in hell told the Lord, "I'm too young, I'm studying, I'm busy, not yet." Look what took place in her life. She has now repented, but it's too late. Now I ask you, what will you do? Will you obey what the Lord is calling you to do? You have been chosen by God to reach the lost. We must fulfill God's will because He chose us to abide in His perfect will. If we do this, we will be in His presence for all eternity. Don't reject it any longer. Receive it. The Holy Spirit will guide you, not man. God Himself will guide you. That lady was continually tormented by demons in hell. They would tell her, "God had spoken to you and called you. You disobeyed the Lord and now you are here for eternity." I cried as I left that woman and asked the Lord to forgive me for not wanting to preach His word. You know why I wanted to stop preaching? It's because some people accuse me of being a false prophet. After I had this experience, I don't care about their accusations any longer. They can say whatever they want, but I will keep on preaching His word. The Lord said, "Do not fear men, fear me." Don't worry about their opinions, focus on mine. So why should we worry about man's opinions? Men cannot grant eternal life, only Jesus can. Even if people continue to criticize you, don't allow that to be a hindrance or make you quit. May their false accusations cause you to rise up stronger. God will use this to help you endure and press forward. The trials we face are difficult, but Jesus is with us. Luke 12:4. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. 5. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear Him who, after He has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear Him. Jesus. 12. Self-murder. The Lord said, "It hurts me that the love of many on earth is now growing cold. Many difficult tribulations are coming to the earth. I will show you someone else who once loved and served me." As we approached another location, a man yelled out, "Lord my God, I always loved you. I always wanted to do your will, but I was double-minded. I was inconsistent in my walk with you. When I preached your word, you led me. At those times I was obedient to you. Eventually I would always leave you and return to my old ways. When I would come back to you, you would restore me. I just couldn't stand my life. That's why I committed suicide." That man in hell is a murderer. Being a murderer is not only shooting somebody or having an abortion. Murder is also the taking of a person's own life. If you commit suicide, you go to hell. It is written, "No murderer shall inherit the kingdom of heaven," Gal 5:19-21, Rev 21:8. He is not in God's presence because he committed suicide. You know what, if you're one of those people that get tired of serving God, you can't continue, you are discouraged, you're tired of serving God, maybe it's because the world is attractive to you. I tell you, reject the desires of the flesh, reject them. Walk in the Holy Spirit. God will help you to abide in His will. This is not the pastor's responsibility or anyone other than your own. You must rely on the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Gal 5:16-21. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. 17 For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. The danger of fighting, division and ungodly conflicts. After we left that location, I looked and saw something startling: two men fighting in hell. A fist fight in hell. This was my third revelation of hell, and I had not seen this yet. There are many churches that are filled with hypocrites. Men who are nice in church, but in actuality they fight over anything. They fight for money, they fight for church members, and they continually fight. Hypocrites. The souls belong to Christ. The money isn't for men, it's for working for the kingdom of God. These two men fought angrily, and more men came and joined in on the fighting. Demons continued to torture them while they fought. The flames burned them and they were in great torment, they yelled and screamed in agony. I asked the Lord, why are they fighting? The Lord did not answer me. I turned to the men and said, stop. Why are you fighting? You are in torment and you continue to fight. Tell me, why are you here? I want to know. A man looked at me and said, we fight because we can't escape this place. We are the same here as we were on earth. On earth we fought for profit, we fought to take church members to our own congregations, we fought to have more for ourselves. Now I have repented and I ask God for forgiveness. But I know God's word though, and I know I can no longer be forgiven. The men fought continually. The Lord told me there are many people on earth who were once faithful servants, but now they are headed towards this place. Tell them not to come here. This is my responsibility. I have been warning pastors as well. I have gone to places where the focus of the ministry has been to make a profit. There are pastors who fight for money and to take church members. This is the same reason those men were fighting in hell. I have also been to places where pastors love God passionately with all their hearts. They would be willing to give their lives for the gospel and love to work for God's kingdom. But there are also pastors who are hypocrites, but not all of them are. These are vain, and so are some evangelists. It is terrible that some leaders fight to take church members to their own congregations. They want to fill their churches easily. The souls are not ours, they belong to Jesus Christ. There are souls in hell for these reasons. There is no humility in causing rivalry. God does not want us to be divided. He wants all of us to be united like we are today. Look at how many pastors are gathered here today. Here is a pastor, and another pastor, and another. We are gathered in one accord. God wants us united. He wants us to help one another. It doesn't matter where you are from. You could be from France or New York or Italy, it doesn't matter. You still have the same Holy Spirit. God wants us to be one. We are one body and He is the head. We must be united in love for the work of God, and we must also love one another, unlike those men who ended up in hell. Look how they ended up, fighting and speaking horrible things to each other. It made me feel bad. After this experience, I cried very much. I cried because it hurts my heart to know how many men and women fight for material things. They don't fight for what's really important, for the spiritual things. Don't fight for material things, but fight the devil himself so that we don't lose our blessings. God's blessings are worth fighting for, but fighting and causing division in church is not of God. It hurt me to see the eternal consequence of people who cause division. While I saw these men fight in hell, one of the men said to me, when you return to earth, tell people not to fight or cause division. Maybe you are secretly fighting and causing division. Perhaps in public you argue with people. God isn't trying to embarrass you, He is correcting you. He wants you to have a humble and contrite spirit. Repent and don't repeat your offense. God desires for us to enter His presence, but we must walk in holiness. We must be holy because He is holy. Hebrews 12:1-4 Pursue peace with all people, and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. 15 Looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. 13 The captives. There are so many different things that take place in hell. I did not want to see anything else after seeing those men fighting. But before we left, God showed me people's spirits in hell who are still alive on earth. These people are bound and appear to be in cells. This revelation God gave me is similar to what I heard another servant of God say in their testimony. In hell I saw a young girl I know here on earth. I saw this young girl in one of those cells. I have not told her yet. The Lord let me know I shouldn't tell her at this time because she wouldn't receive it. I will wait on God's timing to tell her. When the Lord tells me it's time, then I will go speak to her. She is my friend. I wouldn't have known this about her without this revelation. The Lord's revelation to me was that she was in that cell because she was a slave to sin, Rom 6:16. I said, Lord, I don't understand. I see souls fall into tunnels and land inside of hell, but others simply remain in this place. I would also see double-minded Christians heading to this place. I looked around and saw many people bound by sin. The Lord told me the girl you see is living in fornication. She also has resentment in her heart, not my peace. Go and speak to them. The Lord said them because there was another girl there that I also know. Two girls were in that place of bondage. Those girls are bound by sin, John 8:31-36, Rom 6:15-21. The Lord said, go and tell them that I want to set the captives free and liberate them. I want to liberate them from the prison they are in and do great things in their lives. I replied, yes, Lord, I will tell them. As we continued to walk, I saw many souls in bondage. Unfortunately, they had all known God at one time. We walked up to another lady that I know, who was in the same situation as my friend. She said, crying, Lord, I can't remain here any longer. The Lord said, this is her conscience, she is living in disobedience, in sin. He revealed more things about that woman and said, go and tell these women what you have seen. I have already spoken to one but not yet the other. Back at the time of sharing this testimony, it is not the right time. After I have spoken, it becomes their responsibility to receive it or not. God wants to set the captives free and loose those who are bound. He wants to take you out of slavery and bondage and give you freedom. Resentment leads to bondage. Hatred, bitterness, and these emotions all lead to that place. You must ask God to search your heart, what is in your heart. Acknowledge that there is sin and ask the Lord to break that yoke of bondage. God will break those chains and release you from that prison. When you acknowledge and repent, the Lord will set you free, but first you must acknowledge sin and repent. Rom 6:15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness? 14. Hell and the lake of fire. Afterwards the Lord began taking me up and out of hell. It was as if we were climbing a stairway through a dark tunnel. When we arrived at the top, I looked down and saw hell from a different viewpoint. Hell is an extremely large place. From my viewpoint, I saw hell in a central profound location, and I also saw the lake of fire. They were separate. The lake of fire was underneath hell. This is the way I would try to attempt to describe what I saw. I saw a large tub of fire and sulfur. Above this container I saw the shape of a doll, or a body. The tub is the lake of fire. After the Lord showed me the lake of fire, we left. Rev 20:15, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. 15. Seek and serve the Lord God. For those that are listening or reading this testimony, let me say this to you. God gave you this message because He is real. We don't serve a God of wood. We don't serve a dead God. We serve a living God. He said to me, I never change. I continue to be the same living God. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am the God of yesterday, today, and forever. I have never changed and never will. Don't forget, we serve a great God. Seek His presence in spirit and truth. Don't be hypocrites. Serve Him in spirit and in truth. May God bless each and every one of you. Please share this testimony with others that they may repent and be saved.